Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh, beautiful. Audio issues. Gremlins. It's perfect. I can't freaking wait. Oh, hallelujah, glory. It is, this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room and hang out in the madcap multimedia zany real-time extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours of this program every evening. If you run over right quick and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, you'll be met by Jug of Punch and Steve from Georgistan, and you will be instantaneously capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. See, sometimes I don't pause. But, yeah, that's going to happen. Anatole just wandered in. More people will be along shortly. Well, we don't stand on ceremony here. Nobody's got a ruler. Nobody gets the back of their hand smacked for showing up late. It's okay. This is a... Steve from Georgistan noting, it sounds good in the smoke-filled mountains, Bob. Yes, the southeastern United States is on fire right now because global climate change is a giant hoax perpetrated by the Chinese to destroy our manufacturing sector. Funny, I'd think that great big forest fires would be a lot more effective at destroying manufacturing sectors, but who the hell am I, huh? Yeah, there's a haze of smoke over places like Atlanta and Charlotte and Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Georgia are on fire. Some fire officials say that the fires could continue to burn for 2-3 months because of the drought there. And there's about 25.9% of the electorate in the United States who are seeing a smoky Atlanta and saying, frankly, Trumplet, I don't give a damn. I give a damn because it's the South, and I'm a Southerner, and I hate to see it burn. But, well, think of it this way. This time it wasn't Sherman doing the work. This time it's a self-inflicted wound. What? Climate change? No. But, no, it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and this is, of course, a listener-supported operation. We did achieve our nightly fundraising goal last night. Thank you very, very kindly to all who made it happen. Carol Baker coming in and saving the night at the end of the night. So thank you very kindly, Carol, and thanks to everybody else who jumped in to meet Bob in Texas's challenge. No challenge on the table this evening, just the usual $200 that we try to raise, and gosh, it sure would be good if we could. So here in a minute, you know, we'll pass the plate, etc., etc. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, yeah, because this is a listener-supported program that doesn't have any advertising, no Buy Gold Now, no vacuum cleaners, no Bose Wave radios, no General Steel buildings, no lumber liquidator floors, no herbal erection-producing pills, nor herbal hair regrowth tonics here, no mattresses made of foam, Swedish foam developed by NASA, no nothing. Just your determination that we continue to have and, you know, as our buddy Tom in the Bay Area said the other night, now more than ever, that we have independent, progressive, liberal conversation. And so that's the goal. So, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And, you know, since Tuesday last, not yesterday, we've all been kind of in shock. We've all been sort of stunned. And we, in many senses, don't know quite what to make of where we are. It's one of those, you know, why are we in this hand? Why are we in this hand basket, and where are we going? But at some point in time, we've got to have something resembling a return to normalcy. And I sort of thought maybe tonight would be the night for that. Because in point of fact, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. And yes, we have taken a turn for the fascist worse. And yes, we're all confused. Yes, we're all, you know, upset. Some of us more than others. Some of us are terrified. There are people out there who are absolutely terrified of the economically anxious people who spray paint swastikas on churches. Poor babies. And, you know, economically anxious people who talk about the current and God, are we going to miss her, First Lady, and describe her as an ape in heels. But, you know, again, that's just economic anxiety, because the real threat out there isn't racism or Islamophobia or homophobia or misogyny or oath keepers or the Klan or neo-Nazis or Stormfront or the fact that there's a goddamn neo-Nazi going to be the chief advisor to the president of the United States. Nope. The real problem is economic inequality. Income inequality. Absolutely. Because that's what's motivating people to spray paint swastikas on churches and things like Fag Church and, well, you know, ever so much more of the same nastiness. It's all, everybody, calm down. It's just economic insecurity. It's just people in the Rust Belt who don't understand, who just want to get rid of that damned old NAFTA and drill baby drill and timber baby timber and mine baby mine, and then America will be great again. But we've got somewhere along the way, we have to find something that resembles normalcy. We have to sort of return to things that we that represent our idea of normal. And so, what better time, what better place to do that than Wednesday? This is the 16th day of November 2016. We are over the halfway mark in this month. And I know, as Marty just pointed out, normalcy, what's normal? Well, yeah, normal is, after all, just nothing more than a setting on a dryer. And we're going to find out if it's even that much here in the coming next couple of years. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday. And in times of chaos, in times of crisis, we return to those bedrock, steadfast things that represent timelessness in our world. And so it was that the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Cathedral of Common Sense, down there in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, went for comfort this evening. They did up. They got the great big institutional size bacon pans, and they did up a giant load of chicken pot pie. And oh, how wonderful it was! I mean, they lovingly shredded the chicken. They got the peas and the carrots and the little slivers of onion. They threw in a little salt, a little black pepper, a little bit of tarragon, just a little bit for flavor. They built that beautiful creamy sauce around it. They did what they do so well and made a gorgeous crust. Put it in the bottom, poured the mixture into it, covered it with another crust entirely, and baked them for fellowship dinner here on Prayer Meeting Wednesday in the Fellowship Hall. And I tell you what, it went away in a hurry. Just a simple tossed salad alongside of it. Mm-hmm. Some cornbread sticks to go with. Butter for that. And you know, your choice of dressings for the salad, ranch, or, you know, ranch. But it's homemade and everybody loves it. And then for dessert, just good old fashioned yellow cake with homemade chocolate icing. Oh, it went away in a hurry, brethren and sistren. It went away in a hurry. The deacons landed on that. Like the locust landing upon Pharaoh's Egypt. And then, brethren and sistren, because we do have to have a certain degree of order, normalcy, having stuffed themselves, the deacons trundled their massive bulk up the stairs and out into the parking lot where they stood chain-smoking with the sinners. I've seen a couple of deacons go through about a half a pack of Marlboro Reds just trying to fortify themselves for 3 hours without a smoke inside the cathedral. But all good things come to an end, and they did, as soon as Sister Carol Baker appeared with the solar-powered cattle prod and just one quick and the deacons were off and running through the vestibule past that newly desiccating bowl of butter mints. Down the center, and they're waiting here, brethren and sistren, and they're gonna pass those heavy brass, blood red velvet lined plates around, lined with velvet, so nobody'll hear the tinkling of the change as it hits it. There's a PayPal button in the bottom of it. Just press that. $5, $10, $200. Oh, Mr. Soros, your soul is in jeopardy. $1 million, Mr. Soros, $1 million. But you know, we're going to call up the Minister of Music, brethren and sistren, and he's going to lead us in our offertory prayer. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, hallelujah, ha, glory, those plates are going to pass. And we'll just keep passing them until the evening's offering has been received. Amen. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed except the one you keep kind of just a little skosh open to keep from getting in the head with hitting the head with that plate. I'm going to call the Minister of Music forward so he can lead us in the offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes. Because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ. Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambs and abby, a kiddly dabby too, wouldn't you? I love you. Ha! Glory, amen, hallelujah. Welcome, brethren and sistren, ha! To Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm a-calling to you now, brethren and sistren. Get up out of your seats, onto your feet. Come on out from in betwixt the pews and head on down that blood-red aisle. Ha! Amen! And fall, ha! Upon your knees at the altar. Ha! And lay your hands, ha! Upon the subwoofer. Feeling glory. Amen. The healing rays of common sense, ha, a-flowing through ya. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense, right here on the Horn. Ha! Praise his holy name. And so, just as I said, brethren and sistren, we are in search of something that resembles a rock upon which we can take shelter in these turbulent seas of Trumpism. Something with a solid foundation, brethren and sisters. Somewhere that we know the malignant forces of chaos have not reached. Brethren and sistren, let's go to Georgistan. Let's do, brethren and sistren. Let's go to Georgistan, where there's some good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered parents, and they are furious. They are furious, brethren and sistren. They were furious to find out from their church, brethren and sistren, that the youth minister, like I said, we're just looking for normalcy here, and this is normal. The youth minister at Harvest Baptist Church. That's Harvest Baptist Church because they're a harvesting souls for Christ Jesus. The new youth pastor they hired, it turned out, had a little sexual assault problem. He'd been the youth pastor there at Harvest Baptist Church. And remember, in Christianity, you don't have to be perfect, just forgiven, even if the forgiven involves having previously committed sexual assault. This guy may wind up president. Now, Mark Greer was hired by Harvest Baptist Church as their youth pastor, and he youth pastored there at Harvest Baptist Church in Ackworth, Georgistan, for something going on a year. And that's when he got caught molesting three of the girls that he was youth pastoring to.
Yeah. Sexual battery and sexual molestation against three girls, all under 16 years of age. All three of the girls had separate interactions, shall we say, with Brother Youth Pastor Greer. Last month, he did finally plead guilty. But hey, our God is an amazing God. You know why? Because Brother Greer is out on probation and never served any time in jail. He is, however, being punished because he has to file on the sex offender registry there with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, the GBI. Mm-hmm. Two of the victims were sisters. And their daddy said, there's no transparency. There are people in the church that don't have any idea of what happened. Nothing. They don't know what Mark Greer done, what Mark Greer did, why we left, and why others left. They just refused to tell people. They'd been members of Harvest Baptist Church for 13 years. Asked for comment, retiring pastor Dan Reed said no comment, and incoming pastor Mark Carr said, well, he is no longer employed at the church. So, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian molested three little girls. The church covered it up, kept everything quiet. Then he ultimately pled guilty to the three to the three molestations, and because God is so good, at least to rapists, did no jail time. Ain't God good? Ain't our God a loving God? Oh, it just does your heart proud, don't it? And never mind the fact that... Okay, here's a question. And it's a question kind of like one that Dim Leader once asked. Is our Christians learning? How many stories do there have to be about youth pastors diddling, abusing, and generally molesting and raping young Christian children before Christianity looks up and says, maybe we've created a problem here? Yeah, don't count on that to be a headline you see anytime soon. Because after all, they were just little girls. It's not like youth pastor Greer was committing an abomination with some boys or some full-grown men. Yeah, that. I mean, you know. Because, see, Greer, had the church bothered to tell anybody, youth pastor Greer had been previously convicted up in Tennessee back in 1999 for, sexual battery. But again, the grace of Christ Jesus is that which provides us forgiveness and allows sexual predators to go back and prey on more people. And hey, all he has to do is say, well, Jesus, I asked you to forgive me for that 1999 sexual battery, and Jesus, you done a right fine job of forgiving me for it. So now that I've molested three more little girls, Jesus, I'm going to ask you to forgive me again. And Jesus just goes, well, I guess that's how it goes. I guess I got to forgive you. And it didn't hang up there on that cross for nothing. You're forgiven. When you die, just glide on through the pearly gates. You got this. Ain't I good? And boom! Yay, Christianity! So like I said, we gotta have something resembling a return to the normal here. Because this isn't going to stop. We've been doing prayer meeting Wednesday for a very, very long time, and it hasn't even slowed down. So bless you, Brother Greer. Seeing's how you're not even going to do any jail time, maybe you can just head west over to Talabama, where there's another Baptist church that might be willing to hire you, and you can get your inner Trump on with some more little girls. Right? Yeah. But brethren and sisters, it is a time of miracles. How do I know? Jim Baker told me so.
Fox just gave them 274.
274.
Fox has
president
declared
Donald Trump
is president.
And I'll tell you what.
God that's listening.
I have lived through a lot.
Yes, you have.
I have seen from a child in Michigan. I have helped build the main major television networks for Christ. And I've seen miracles. Every time it took a miracle. It took a miracle to build CBN. It took a miracle to build TBN. I had to move a mountain at TBN. Mm-hmm. I've seen the miracles. Beyond miracle.
Meanwhile, in addition to all the miracles, and it's all tax-free part, it played a little role, but give all the glory to God.
But I believe today, I have seen the greatest miracle I have ever seen. All the wise men said, no, it won't happen. They had the numbers. They said it can't. I mean, almost everybody around me even was giving up. The prophets were even giving up because they were showing the odds and the numbers. And they said the numbers aren't there. All the polls were wrong.
Right.
Yeah. All the polls were wrong, Lori.
It's really a miracle. It's a miracle.
And the prophets were right.
They were.
God was right.
Yeah, prophets and so forth. Right, yeah. And that's okay. So Jim Baker's had his miracle, but even though America has now been made safe, I'm sure it will be necessary for us all to buy some bucket pudding real soon. Maybe because the atheists are going to come after the good, God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical Christians. Who knows? But these are glorious times, are they not? And just in case you might be a little bit nervous about what's coming down the pike toward you, former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson has a message for the blacks. Pay attention now.
So all of this stuff right now where we are playing the blame game, where we are killing ourselves, where mm-hmm. we are the, you know, the world is looking at Black America and they're saying, what are these people doing to themselves? Mm-hmm. We don't get it. Because we should be missionaries. Yeah. We're still a mission field.
Well, your compatriots must hate your guts, if I can use those terms for you, saying what you say.
Yes, well, I'm telling the truth. And I'm telling them the truth, and we can't die. I've been going to several...
Now, just in case you were wondering, this genius talking to Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer, is a man of color, okay? But just... Oh, I meant to tell you, I'm ready now. I don't need no bucket pudding because I went to the post office the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Maybe it was Monday. It all runs together after a while. And picked up this heavy, heavy box. I'm ready for the Trumpocalypse. Because in that box were a pair of hockey pucks, some industrial strength Gorilla duct tape, camouflage in color. Camouflage is my second favorite color after plaid. A pair of bunny swirly straws. Two bottles of good Canadian ice wine. Yes, two. One for Agnes and one for me. From the Isabella Winery of the Okanagan Valley, which is in British Columbia. And four packets of Apocaryv dry soup mix with flavor boost. Just add Apocaryv water. So I'm ready. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm ready. Robert in Morgantown noting, God done give the evangelicals a miracle. They wanted him to give them a weapon to use on the heathens, so he handed them a hand grenade. And they are so thankful. Too bad they haven't noticed God already pulled the pin. Just ice fine, Marty. Marty said, how much rum? There was no rum, just ice fine, and it'll do nicely. Tim wants to know, what's a blue-haired lady? And no, that's wrong. He sent me a picture of the lovely Katy Perry with blue hair. That is not a blue-haired lady. No, the ladies who go down to the, maybe, I don't know, maybe it doesn't happen anymore. Yeah, I know it used to. Every week, whether she needed it or not, my granny would go down to the beauty shop. And she had beautiful white hair. And she'd go down to the beauty shop, and they would put a rinse on it to bring out the magnificent silver whiteness of her hair. But for the first couple of days, it was more bluish purple than it was white. Because they used bluing. I mean, there are laundry products that say with bluing for extra whiteness. Well, yes, that too, Tim from L.A., that too. But typically the little old blue haired ladies really did work in the kitchen of the fellowship hall. And dang if they couldn't cook. I don't know if Katy Perry can cook. That's right, Brother Deacon Gerald. The holy hand grenade of Antioch, the one that Brother Maynard carries with him. That's the one Robert was talking about. First shalt thou pull the holy pin, then shalt thou call count three, no more, no less. The number thou shalt count shall be three, and the number of the counting shall be three. Five is right out. Once the number three being the third number be reached, lovest thou thy holy hand grenade of anti-lock towards thy foe, who being naughty in my sight shall snuff it. Yeah. That. So, we're ready here. And we don't need no we don't need no bucket pudding, but anyway, back to Liquor Supply Officer Marion Robertson and his black friend. This would be, by the way, Wellington Boone, who is not Pat Boone, who and does not sing heavy metal tunes, but yeah, here we go.
Well, cities, Pat, including Harlem, New York,
yeah,
where the death rate is higher than the birth rate, and it's in depopulation.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers of the cities, blacks are dying faster than they're born.
It used to be, like in the 30s, the blacks were self-sustaining. They had wonderful families. They had home ownership. They were in business. And what happened over those years?
I believe what happened is when your belief system, when your messaging takes you outside of what the potential of God is in you,
mm-hmm,
so that you look for something outside of you, then what happens is you start depending on those sources, and those sources are not your source.
Black America was so happy in the 1930s. I mean, they had their own substandard schools. They had their own seats at the back of the bus. And then they just depended on things outside their own understanding. And, oh, Jesus God. We're going to have a lot of this going forward. And I don't know, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, you've seen some of the hand-wringing coming from the Beckerhead. Talking about what an evil, nasty, rotten person racist Bannon is. Which, you know, he is an evil, nasty, rotten person. Really. And among other things, the Beckerhead has said that if we tolerate racist Bannon advising Maximum Trump, then we ourselves have become racists. That's an interesting perspective there, Beckerhead. Here's the thing, though. He had a hand in it. For instance, I got a clip here of David Barton, fake historian, lying to people, yeah, because that's what he does. Well, no one has done a better job of promoting David Barton than the Beckerhead. And promoting that fake history, the notion, for instance, that this country was founded as a Christian nation, when the people doing, you know, the founding were largely deists, is, well, it was a big part of creating a world in which somebody like a Trump can come along and say, my favorite Bible book is 2 Corinthians, walk into a bar. And so, no, it's a little too little too late, Beckerhead. Your crocodile tears availeth you not. But please, how can I put this? There's been a lot of, I guess, wishful thinking that maybe the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini post will not be who he said he is. That, of course, calls to mind the wonderful clip from Denny Green saying, they were who we thought they were. Well, they are who we think they are, or at least they are who I think they are. And if you can't, inside your own intellect, come to grips with them being who we think they are, or thought they are, then I ask a simple question. Will you take them at their own word? This being Prayer Meeting Wednesday and everything, it wouldn't be any fun without a clip from Chappie Klingenschmidt. You know, if you put a little solvent on it, that Klingon on your Schmidt will clear up. On his weird little tax-exempt program, he welcomed Janet Porter. Now, she's one of these self-hating women who wants small government and needs it to be small enough to fit inside a woman's vagina so that government can make sure that women, you know, don't manage their own reproductive systems and instead let the evangelicals do it for them. Please, take these evil, malicious bastards at their own words, if nothing else.
Jesus, praise God for what just happened. Our country was spared from a downfall of judgment where we would not have been able to protect children again in our lifetime. The Second Amendment would have been a thing of the past. But what we see now, because of the victory of Donald Trump, is that we're going to see pro-life and conservative justices put on the Supreme Court, on the federal courts. We're going to see, because we also won the House and the Senate, we're going to see Obamacare with an extremely good chance of being repealed and replaced. He's going to put the Iranian horrific nuke deal through the shredder.
Now get this. This good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian is praising God for the fact that tens of millions of Americans are going to be deprived of access to health care. Didn't their avatar say something about sick people? Didn't he include the sick when he said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it also unto me? Why, yes, as a matter of fact, he did. But hell, he was just talking about visiting them, not actually providing them any care. Never mind the fact that he lived in the first century CE, when doctoring largely consisted of trying to drive out the demons, which sometimes, you know, could get kind of painful, but never mind. This Christian thing is happy that people will die of preventable disease. This servant of Christ is tickled freaking pink. That children will be orphaned because, well, mama can't do anything about that lump in her breast. Oh, that's some love, that Christian love. But she ain't done.
This is a great day to be alive in America, and I just thank God. That's the only thing I can do is praise God for giving us mercy, because it was an amazing, amazing night.
That is a damned interesting definition of mercy. Putting 11 million people, including children, in terror. Yeah, Carol, that's exactly it. She's a Christian death panelist. She wants to declare who lives and who dies. And isn't that inspiring? Aren't they just inspiring? Don't you just want to go and be a Christian like them? Doesn't she just make you eager to go and follow the Prince of Peace? With all that Christian love Janet Porter has?
What I believe what happened is in this election, what we saw is 40 years, 43 years to be more exact, of prayers to end abortion answered. What I believe now is up to us is to take this opportunity and end abortion. We're going to be introducing in Congress very soon, I'll be making an announcement shortly, about a federal heartbeat bill. Imagine this, chaps, will you? That in Congress, instead of talking about funding and regulation, only those things, we actually are talking about ending abortion for every child whose heartbeat can be heard, which will be nearly every child, and will probably shut down the abortion industry because they won't be able to stay open for 5% of their business. And so I believe that we've just raised the bar. What we've been given is a green light.
So what happens here is when, let's say, the youth pastor at one of these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical churches rapes a 13-year-old girl and gets her pregnant, well, the 13-year-old will have to carry her good, God-fearing, upstanding, Christ-centered, evangelical, Baptist youth pastor's baby to term. And after that, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Baptist won't give a good goddamn about what happens to that baby. It only matters as long as it's inside the mama that they so desperately need to control. Hoo-wee! Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. What about a woman who has dead twins inside her? What about a woman who has a single baby with macrocephaly and there's no way to birth the baby alive? What about her? I don't know. What about Janet Porter's precious little white granddaughter? When she goes out and goes a-romping and suddenly misses a period. Oops. Yeah, Arthur, I know. No, not big abortion. The abortion industry. Yeah, because it's an... At least it's not tax-free like this hustle is. But she just told you, and she's got the power. She's got the power over there at her weird-ass tax-free organization. She's got the ear of crazy-ass Republican members of the House of Representatives. She's got it. And so when she says we're going to introduce a fetal heartbeat bill in the Congress, you can take that to the bank. And by the way, everybody who says that the moderate Republicans will stop them. Bullshit. Bullshitty, said the robin, and he turned and walked away. They aren't gonna stop a damn thing. That bill will sail through the House of Representatives like it's been goose greased. Or goose step greased. Huh? And then it'll go over to the Senate, where all the Republicans will vote for it. And people like Joe Manchin, who just became like the third most powerful Democrat in the Senate. We'll vote with the Republicans because Joe is pro-life. Oh, yes, Joe worries so much about the precious little fetuses. Exactly, Carol Baker. That Christian rape baby will be a gift from God. Of course. And you know what? Maybe someday it'll grow up and cure cancer. Or maybe someday it'll grow up and be a youth pastor and rape little more little 13-year-old girls. Ain't God good? Our God is an awesome God.
Man, I want to hit the gas pedal and floor it and go to fulfill what we have gotten a mandate from the evangelical voters and the voters of America to do. And I believe that with all of us joined together now, that we can make America righteous again.
Yeah, okay. Great isn't good enough. Now we have to be fucking righteous. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Of course, the fun part will be watching them define righteous. Here's a hint. You're not righteous. Not one of you. Only them. Oh, and shh, don't anybody tell Janet Porter. But Benito Cheeto still lost the popular vote. But then again, that's only because of all those heathens out there in California. And probably all those people in New York. Speaking of whom, how about the League? Wait, we're going to need some more reverb for this. League of the South, 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 South. Way down yonder in the land of cotton. The League of the South is a neo-Confederate, neo-Nazi, Klan-loving, sister-fisting bunch of dead-enders and rejects who now find themselves surprisingly empowered by the election of the man that they ran out in droves and voted for. Michael Hill is president of the League of the South. And he issued the following victory statement. Once the globalist progressive coalition of Jews, minorities, and anti-white-whites stops reeling in confusion from the results of yesterday's election, this was last week, we can expect them to start striking back with trickery and violence, because, you know, them Jews and minorities and anti-white-whites, they's full of that trickeration. Thus, we as Southern nationalists face both danger and opportunity. Now more than ever. That's, God damn it, that's my line. Now more than ever, we need tight organization and numbers to help drive a stake through Dracula's heart and keep him from rising once again to menace our people and civilization. No mercy should be shown to the enemies of our God, our folk, and our civilization. None would be afforded us. Yeah, because, you know, members of the League of the South have been swinging from the trees for the last 8 years. Not. Because, you know, mercy, as defined by Michael Hill, is giving him everything he always wanted. And as long as he doesn't get to yell that word whenever he wants in public and things like that, as long as that's not just normalized, as long as we don't go back to having separate facilities, separate restrooms, separate water fountains, separate lunch counters, then he ain't being showed no mercy. He said, so here is my warning to the victors. Do not go back to sleep and think all is well. If you don't finish the job by routing your enemies and driving them into the sea while you have the chance, they will regroup and be back at your throats in no time. You have been given a reprieve by God, probably undeservedly so. Do not give your enemies and his a reprieve. Their goal is to dispossess you of everything. If you have not heard that over the past year, then you have not been listening. Just what the hell do you think multiculturalism, diversity, and tolerance are all about? I don't know. I thought it was about multiculturalism, diversity, and tolerance. Your enemies care nothing about those things. They are merely used as weapons against you for your dispossession and ultimate destruction. The sum effect is white guilt. These media elites and other of their elite ilk look forward to the demise of old white America as the rise of a new paradigm in which they will hold sway. You will be dispossessed, sequestered in the equivalent of ghettos, and will be a despised and hated minority in the country your ancestors builted. You, by God's grace, may have been given a short reprieve from this scenario. Redeem the time. As for me, I recommend that we get busy with Southern independence. We need our own country, and it must be run by us for our own interests. It must once again be white man's land. Trump voter. And again, I stand by my thesis. Something approaching half of the Trump voters would look at that and go, yep, South's gonna rise again. How about that? He just won a federal fucking election and he wants to secede. What a dumbass. Note coming in from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. Subject line, alleyways and coat hangers. Calm down, Bob. Abortions are what Mexico was made for. Those gull-darned Catholics are just a bunch of hypocrites anyhow. Long way from Idaho to, well, never, Mexico. I'm so glad it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, and by the way, somebody else that these are just outliers, dead enders. I mean, these aren't the real Trump voters. I mean, the real Trump voters live in the Rust Belt and they're just economically anxious. Let's just keep some perspective on things, okay? I mean, they went and voted for Trump because they were angry about NAFTA. Well, the Oath Keepers are ready for the post-election world. Over on the Oath Keepers website, a cretin by the name of Navy Jack said that Donald Trump would be certain to win the election unless he was stopped by large-scale voter fraud. Mm-hmm. But he's worked himself up some percentages. He calls them threat scenarios. He said there was a 50% probability of widespread grassroots social unrest based on election outcome designed to delegitimize the election results. Islamic terrorist activity related to election, well, no, that was 20% chance, so the 80% won. Provocateured post-election unrest and riots, purpose, legitimize implementation of emergency powers. Provocateured false flag implicating right-wing organizations and media. 30% on both of those, but yeah, sorry. Who's going to do it? La Raza and the Revolutionary Communist Party and its affiliates and the New Black Panther Party and Black Lives Matter and the Huey P. Newton Gun Club and foreign powers, Russia, China, North Korea, etc., and ISIS, Al-Qaeda. Yep. See, there he had to go after the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. But all they's doing is celebrating their Second Amendment rights. By the way, the officer who blew away Philando Castile was charged today with second-degree manslaughter. Fired 7 rounds in or at Philando Castile. He will at least be charged. Maybe he'll be tried. By the way, according to the Oath Keepers, we are all under massive threat of IEDs. And the ISIS is the top of the list for doing that. Second only, just second behind them is the Muslim Brotherhood and Black Lives Matter and the Black Panthers. I presume he means the New Black Panthers. He says the Aryan Nation might do some of them. Your drug cartels, MS-13, Russian mafia, illegals, racist local gangs and radicals, and fifth column groups in Merca. They're also your IED threats. Hoo-wee! But being as how it is Wednesday, I want to give credit where credit's due. This story's a little bit old. But when you get something right, by God, I think you deserve to be recognized for it. Frank Armedia is a gospel sharp over in Ohio. For a while, he was the liaison for Christian policy to the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini campaign. And, well, he did a little prophesying. Check it out.
What we're seeing released now in the news today, and of course I understand this will be dated, is just the beginning of what's coming out of the dark. And the FBI all of a sudden deciding that they're going to start the investigation over again, very compelling. But that's not it. There's more coming. And it's coming because the Lord is shaking. And he said he's going to expose this Jezebel spirit that is trying to hijack not only the authority of this country and the sovereignty of this country as one nation under God, but to quell and stop the words of the church. You know, the mechanisms of the devil is to stop our mouth, to stop us from prophesying, to stop us from having...
What? Satanic hockey pucks? I mean, right? But that's what it was about. That's why she lost. She had a Jezebel spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A Jezebel spirit. Of course, he also said that James Comey would be coming out with more stuff about it. He kind of blew it on that there, Brother Armedia.
A word that speaks the truth of God. But right now, we need to look at policy. And we need to understand that marriage is at stake, that Israel is at stake. And abortion, Steve, my God, almost 60 million children. Can you imagine the righteous blood that's crying out to God for justice? And the Lord is saying, no more genocide. Just like when he put Haman on his own gallows, the Lord is saying that this genocide of abortion needs to stop now. And if none of us...
Wow, isn't it lovely how they always get around to somebody getting lynched, these good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelicals? Somebody always got to get lynched. Putting somebody on the gallows. Because, you know, they get little Christian stiffies when they think about that. Note came in from Ron and Raleigh earlier in the day. A little before airtime. Subject line, it's worse than we thought. On the way home from work today, I was listening to the NPR, a habit I've got to break. And as I was listening, I heard that the Democrats have chosen their leadership in the Congress. For minority leader, they chose Chuck Wall Street can do no wrong Schumer. Dick Durbin as minority whip. He'll just stay right where he was. And Ron adds, the choice that I know has made you eat dirt and run rabbits, West Virginia's own Joe Manchin as the party's front man to build the party. Talk about foxes in the hen house. I also heard that the Repiglicans now hold 33 governor's chairs and legislative majorities in most of those states. The only thing I can hope for is that they will become so drunk with power that they will overreach so badly that their typical house of cards will collapse sooner than later. It doesn't appear that the people that voted for Trump understand that they've just fallen on their own swords. Fallen on them? They can't spell swords. Now here's some more of that hillbilly elitism. Not that they can't spell sword, they just pronounce the W in it. Knew a redneck once upon a time many years ago down in Alabama, got in a deep theological argument with my mother because he tried to insist, he tried to tell her that no, my mother was wrong. It is not Palm Sunday. It's Psalm Sunday. You just don't pronounce the S and... Oh, really? Yes, Marty, he really did say God was speaking to him. Marty says if he did say that, he needs to get checked into the wing at Napa State Hospital they were supposed to be building for me, but I'm willing to persevere and wait for a new one to be built. That's very Christian of you, Marty. And just relative to what Ron and Raleigh was saying about those 33 state legislatures, I got an even funner one for you. I mean, this is some kind of fun. They got 33 state legislatures. I remember when a few people were saying, oh, Bob, you're going to talk about that again. Yeah, that's one state legislature shy of a constitutional convention of the states. Brought to you by the Koch brothers. Don't be surprised. And, you know, you can just, well, I'll get to work appliquing those moons and stars back on my frayed purple robe. Hell, I may have to wind up springing for a new purple robe and a whole new magic eight ball that says something besides ask or answer hazy, ask again later. Mm-hmm. Well, the plate is a passing. And so far, it has been the plate has seen only one act of kindness, and that, of course, is Brother Deacon Asa, who sent along. In Canadian money, $66.66, which I thought was very tasteful. Here in a minute, we'll have a better idea of of what our fundraising goal is after that, after we do the currency conversion. Working. Be awful handy if they'd quit changing their interface every 15 minutes. Ah, why, that will work out to, well, we're about to find out. Yes, and oh, good. Oh, lovely. I get some loose change to play with. So the fundraising goal for the evening is now $151.59. $151.59. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you very kindly. $151.59. Just, you know, just like the Bacardi rum. $151.49 in fundraising for the evening. Thank you very, very much, Brother Deacon Asa. Hopefully you'll get some company along the way with that. So here at 11 minutes past the hour, I'm going to take a break. And, you know, you can participate in the conversation. You're welcome to. We've got other real news to keep up with. We've got more examples of economic anxiety breaking out in the land. Because that's all it is. I mean, the only reason these people are behaving this way is economic anxiety. Because we just didn't understand them goodly enough. Right. Okay. Break time. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Hey, thanks, Ron.
I am the God of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Ron, if you ever quit your day job, I think you've got a real future as a DJ. Just saying. Crazy World of Arthur Brown from 1968. Thanks, Ron. Thanks very much. So it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And you know the numbers, right? Unless I miss my guess, I think we're about to... I think the phone's about to ring. At least I hope so. The stress line, of course, is area code 304-663-4676. Yes, that's what I thought. Guy James, what in the world are you doing in Texas?
Well, I'm here on some business, Bob. Work business, and hopefully it'll work out okay, but oh my God. I'm not a big Texas fan, and it's weird. I'm downtown Dallas at Reunion Square at a big old high Regency hotel where they got me for every last thing you do. Of course, it wasn't my idea to stay here. Somebody else was staying, or I sure else wouldn't be here.
Are you seeing any signs of overt Trumpery? How in God's name are you coping in the last week?
I'm not coping. Every day that goes by with the picks that he's picking or putting forth for his staff and all. Oh my God! The election night is just the beginning, and it's getting worse every day. I mean, I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. I must be dreaming.
Well,
John Bolton, for Christ's sake, are you kidding me? Rudy Giuliani?
Oh, no. Wait, Guy, have you heard the latest?
Oh, no. Buddy.
Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III for Attorney General of the New United States of America.
I don't know. No.
That is true. He's got the inside track, Guy.
I'm on the 8th here, and the damn wind won't open. All right, John. I haven't heard you lately. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh my God!
Yeah. No, I mean we've been doing this daily tally of outrages committed by economically insecure Trump. You know, just manifesting their economic insecurity by doing things like spray painting swastikas on churches.
Oh, you don't have my economy, you know that.
Hey guy, I know time is short for you, but could I impose on you to redial
damn hotel?
Well, wait a minute, you got all better.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, wherever you are, don't move.
I got to do one of those things that's popular now, just freeze in place.
Right, and you know, hold your tongue just right, and one arm in the air, and it right, yeah, that's it.
I got it. Okay. Oh, Bob. Oh my God. Maybe like I said in the text, maybe one of these damn rednecks will do me a favor and shoot me. This is my worst nightmare.
Stay away from Dealey Plaza, Guy.
Bob, I look out my window and look right down on it. That's the sorriest sight in the Texas school book depository. I'm about 100 yards from it. Looking right, so I keep my window closed most of the shades drawn most of the time. That's a horrible sight. And Bob,
I mean, are they going crazy in Florida on you? I mean, you live in a very, very red place, Guy.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating how all of a sudden that, like 100,000 Trump bumper stickers broke out all of a sudden. You didn't see many before, but since the election, every other car's got one.
What's your Confederate flag count up to?
Oh, it's funny you should ask. Yes, sir. Every goddamn red pickup, 72 Ford pickup truck with a big damn Confederate flag on it. The guy's wearing a Make America Great hat. I mean, it's driving me nuts. It really is.
And of course, that hat was made in China, guy. So,
hell yes.
But the Trumpansies are not known for being particularly introspective or into nuance.
Oh man, you could say that again. And Hillary, I've mentioned this before, but it's obvious now that Hillary was way off when she said it was half deplorables. It is like 92%, I think, and maybe higher than that. I hate to belabor the point, but I've been around a long time, and I never in my wildest dreams thought I would ever see anything so awful as this. I really didn't.
Well, let me just ask you straight up, and this is, you know, this is a theory that I've been and I've gotten some pushback on it, guy. I've been told, you know, no way could half of Trump's voters be racists and misogynists and all those nasty, deplorable things. No way could they be. I mean, it's just a few of them. But let me. So. Are we moving into an American fascism? I mean, not a little bit here and there, but I mean the full on stuff.
In your face fascism. That's exactly what it is. And you know that old story: those that are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it. By gosh, that's exactly what's happening right now. I never ever thought I'd see the day. I guess, as you can tell, I'm not very happy.
Well, I understand. But the question is, can they learn? Like, for instance, if he follows through on his promise to pull out of NAFTA, and then we go into this monumental recession and shit starts falling apart, will they? Do you think the Trumpansies will learn then, guy? Or are they just going to be happy as long as somebody's telling them America's great?
Well, it's Obama's fault. Hell, Trump wouldn't, he wouldn't be responsible for that. It's that daggone Obama. That illegal alien born in Kenya or someplace, everybody knows that he set Trump up. He's like, there's going to be a terrible recession and poor Don's, you know. that'll be the story. I just can't believe it. I hate to keep saying it, but I can't believe it. I've got the Dallas, what do they call it? The Dallas Star newspaper here. And it's pathetic. It really is. Deep in the heart of Texas, I'll tell you. Bob, I hate to be short, but I have got to go. I got a meeting coming up in about 15 minutes.
Well, I understand completely. Look, you got to find your happiness where you can. Look around and see if they've got an installment of the Home Office there in Dallas, would you?
A what?
See if they've got the Home Office from D.C. It's a chain. Maybe there's one in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to check and see. That would give me some momentary pleasure.
And when you turn your disc to green, as the book says, do this in remembrance of me.
Bob, it wouldn't be right going if you weren't there. That's the only problem with that. It just wouldn't. It wouldn't be right. It'd be like no presents under the Christmas tree. It wouldn't be the same. Me like a horse without a saddle. I could go on, but
well, I am with you always. Have them drop an extra one of those really, really spicy herbal sausages there on your plate. And I'll know.
Do this in remembrance of Bob. All right. I got it. Hey, Bob, we love you. Gotta go.
All right, guy. Don't be a stranger. I'm so glad to have heard from you this evening, my friend.
All right.
And, watch your ass down there, will you?
I'm being careful.
All right. Later now. Bye. Calling from Occupied Dallas. That's our buddy Guy James, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. And if you want to engage in conversation, lines are open, 304-574-8178. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn from anywhere on the planet. Stress line, 304-663-4676. And thanks to Steve, Karen, and Cletus for jumping in. Let's see, that takes us down to 141.59 to go. 141.59 to go in fundraising for this evening. Thank you very kindly, Steve, Karen, and Cletus. Thank you very, very much indeed. All right, let's run over to the stress line, and I suspect this is our buddy Labor Man out in New Mexico. Is that you, Gary?
That'd be me.
How you doing?
I'm doing, I guess.
Yeah, I know. It's really kind of a pain in the ass question now, isn't it?
Yeah, I made some comments yesterday in the chat. I was hoping you caught them while you had Scott on the phone.
Yeah.
And basically saying that, you know, there's no way to work with these people. They're going to govern as though the Democrats aren't there. You know, when it comes to, you know, what goes on in D.C., you know, I mean, that's the way they were when they controlled everything the last time around.
I seem to recall that being the case. Maybe the distinction we could draw is, Gary, they're going to rule, not govern.
Yeah, well, okay, rule. That's, you know, that's semantics for me. But, the Democrats are going to be, you know, basically useless. And you can't work with these folks, you know. And I wrote in the chat, look, we're in a culture war here. That's their war. You know, that's their game. You know, that's what they've been talking about for the past 25 years or longer. You know, it's a culture war, and, you know, they're not interested in working with anybody. You look at Obama, you know, for 8 years he's held his hand out, and anytime he's held his hand out, all they've done is drop their jaws and, you know, dumped a big pile of shit in it, you know?
Yeah, every time he's extended the olive branch, he's drawn back a bloody stump. That, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I don't know. I just don't understand, why some of the liberal progressives, you know, just don't get that. You know, you're trying to hang on to this so we can work with them, or you just made the comment here when you were talking to that fella on the phone just before me about can they learn, you know, when it all goes in a tank? And he said this thing. You know, and I said it from, you know, they're all card carrying now, all the Republicans. You know, on one side of the card it says, you know, in case of voter anger, see reverse side. And you flip it over, the reverse side says it's all Obama's fault. You know, and that's what they'll tell their rubes, and they'll go, yeah, you know, yeah, it's all the black guy's fault. Only most of them won't say black guy. You know,
right? No, if they're all together where they think nobody's listening, they'll use their preferred word.
Oh yeah, and very fine print at the bottom it says this card's valid for 100 years. You know, and it will be.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
Blame
so
Obama for everything for the next, you know, I mean, shit, they're blaming Jimmy Carter for shit 50 years later.
So then here's the question. If they're going to do what they're going to do, why should any, honest to God, I mean, Gary, why should any Democrat help enable it?
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. It's war. You know, we got a trench and Scott needs to get in it. That's my point. Okay. It's a war with these people. You listen to them talk, even now, in after, you know, them gloating about Trump winning and all. You know, it's still a war with them people. It's still a culture war. You know, that's their mantra. You know,
here's some, and you know, you're a proud union man. Here's something to ponder. You know, a few days ago, Bernie said, you know, maybe we could work with him on infrastructure projects. And I was talking to Boss Man Wayne earlier today, and he said, you got to realize before they do anything with infrastructure, they'll gut Davis Bacon. What do you think of that?
They'll gut what?
Davis Bacon.
Oh, they'll try, yeah. Right to work, they'll try to make a national right to work. You know, as a trade-off, you know. They'll try to make the you know, all, you know, a number of states have passed a right to work legislation. You know, there are some holdouts. New Mexico's still a holdout. You know, there's some good union states that are still holdout. You know, they're not right to work. The right to work for less laws, okay, is what they are. And, you know, yeah, they'll try to trade it off with something. You know what I mean? So to me, you know what I mean? I mean, what their agenda is, I mean, we can't agree to any of it at all whatsoever. We can't trade anything off, you know, especially something that'll be, you know, short term or, you know, for a given region or a particular state or whatever. None of that stuff. You know what I mean? Privatizing Social Security. You know, or, you know, reducing Medicare or any of the other things on their hit list, you know. Eliminating this department, that department, or whatever department that they all want to get rid of. You know, you can't make any, you know, you can't take a little bit here and give up a whole bunch over there. You know, like Boehner said one time, Boehner, you know, what he said one time. He says, oh, we only made this deal with the president, and we got 95% of what we wanted, you know. And I don't even, can't even remember what the hell we got out of it.
Maybe they promised to quit calling Obama that quite as often.
Yeah. I don't know what, you know, and Scott seems like a real nice guy and all of that.
Oh, I think the world is Scott.
We got to get away from this shit of, you know, somehow you can work with these people and talk to them and somehow that they can learn. You know, that's what kills me about the doomsdayers that say, well, bring it all down. You know, bring it all down and then they'll learn. You know, and I say, fuck, they can't learn. They're not ever going to learn. You know, no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, you know, what are they going to learn? What are they are they actually going to say, it's Donald Trump's fault?
No.
You know, are the old people going to blame Trump? You know, if they privatize Social Security and they turn around and say, well, right off the top, they have to have 15 or 20% profit. So, boom. Well, where's that going to come from? Well, it's going to come from benefits. Where else is it going to come from? Because they're not going to raise taxes. Well, they may raise taxes on just the employee. They won't raise the taxes on the employer side.
Gary, they'll say,
well, we had to do it, but it's Obama's fault. And they'll go, yeah, it's Obama's fault. You know.
Thanks, Obama.
It's crazy. Crazy shit, you know.
Yeah, and the so-called far left on our side will go, yeah, it was Obama's fault. Yeah.
We're worse on the far the left of the left, you know, which I consider myself a part of, given my history, you know, my own activism, but you know, way back in the day. But you know, at some point, you know, we've been we've been helping to elect fascists since 1968 because of our fucking stubbornness, you know, and purity and conscience and whatever, you know. I mean, you know, these folks, you know, they tell you, you know, it's a culture war. They've been, you know, they use that term, you know. Where has the left of the left been? You know, when are you going to understand, you know, when somebody wrote in the chat, you know, somebody says, you know, this is who I am. Fuck, believe them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they are who they say they are.
You know, don't try to think you're going to make them something different. You know, hold your hand out, they're going to shit in it, you know, just like they've done to Obama the past 8 years.
And then look at you and tell you to eat it and smile.
This is trench time. You know, people like Scott got to get in the fucking trench. You know what I mean? And pick. You know, I'm using this literally. You know, I mean figuratively, not literally. But you know, if he doesn't know how to operate a fucking gun, I'll show him. Okay, I want him right next to me. You know, if he doesn't know how to shoot, I'll teach him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, figuratively.
But he's got to get in the trench. You know, I mean that's what these people have been doing for the past 4 or 5 decades. You know, the out in your face culture war, you know, started with Reagan. You know.
Historically speaking,
radio with Rush Limbaugh and all that bullshit in the late '80s, you know, Reagan started, demonizing the liberals, the DL word, you know what I mean? Big government, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Newt Gingrich's language word list, and people can look that up. I mean, and it really did take hold. I mean, you've got Democrats out there who now say Democrat Party, which is one of those things that just drives me bananas.
I know. Yeah, I ran into a guy. He went Democrat Party. I looked at him square in the eye and I told him, I said, "It's Democratic Party." I said, "Don't you know the difference between a fucking noun and an adjective?" I said, "It's Democratic Party." You know, and he got all. He got bent out of shape like he didn't, you know, like I was speaking Greek to him, you know. I said, "Say it." I told him, I said, "Say it. Democratic Party." I kind of, you know what I mean? But that's where I'm at now, you know what I mean? That's where I'm at, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I say, it's time to get in the trench, you know. You don't want to get in the trench. You're part of the problem.
Well, I have yet to figure out what benefit comes from collaboration. Because I have yet to figure out what benefit, Gary, comes from collaboration.
Zero.
If they succeed and we collaborate, we just succeeded in doing their evil business. If they fail and we collaborate, then we get their failure all over us.
I mean, zero. It's resistance. It's all about resistance. Not collaboration. Resistance. Total resistance. That's the only path forward. And hopefully at least the majority of the Democratic Party will take that course, but you know, they don't seem too, you know, historically, they don't seem too prone to do that, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, so. Indeed. Well, Gary, good to hear from you, my friend, and I appreciate your thoughts. I really, really do. And
it could be a rough ride. You know, I hope not, but look at these nutcases he's going to bring into his cabinet. I mean, Giuliani for Secretary of State? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you really, really serious? Giuliani, Secretary of State?
Oh, or Chris Kobach from Kansas for Attorney General. Maybe not too many people know about who Chris Kobach is, but that's pure poison.
Yeah, or John Bolton, Secretary of State.
Damn nation.
Wackadoodle. now. And the people that he sent over as part of the transition team over to the Social Security Administration, they're all big privatizers. You know, they showed a roster of those folks that from the transition team that are over at the Social Security Administration for the transition, all big, you know, privatizers, you know, get rid of Social Security as we know it. So,
and the phase out of Medicare. Don't forget the phase out of Medicare.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And you know what? I may be completely wrong, Gary. These bastards may actually decide to come after Medicare for people who are current recipients. They may have the bit that far back in their teeth.
Oh, they're not going to waste any time. You know, just like that lady, you know, you had on earlier. Not, you know, that you played, you know, the audio for.
Oh yeah, Janet
you
Porter.
Know what I mean about we're going to have the heartbeat thing or whatever the hell it was, the heartbeat rule or some. Crap.
Yeah, the fetal heartbeat bill,
yeah,
right?
They're gonna go for it. You know, they're gonna go for it. So, you know, it's we're gonna be in a deep hole if we ever get out of it.
Well, yeah,
that's my
strap in. Strap in. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be a rough ass ride. Is what it's gonna be.
Oh yeah. And like I say, unfortunately, you know, no matter how rough it gets, the voters. But I wanted to take issue with you on a number you were using the other day, something about 13 million or 12 million or something. Trump got 60 million votes.
No. I was talking about percentages, and somewhere along the way they got, I mixed up my percentages with my actual numbers. But yeah, what I started out rounding up, he got 26% of registered voters.
Oh, all voters, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but 49% chose
of his voters are wackadoodles.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. If 26% is who voted for him, then is it that hard to believe that 13% of that number are racists? That there are, in fact, you know, 30 million racists in America out of 330 million? I don't think that's so. I don't think that's so out there, Gary.
Oh no, there's in white people. There's always latent racism, always in you, in me, in everybody. Okay, that's always there. You know what I mean? It's there because we're fucking white. You know, and it's in Hispanic people because they're Hispanic. It's in black people because they're black. You know, there's always that, I don't know if it's genetic or what or what have you, but, you know, that tribal genetic thing, you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's, for most of us, it's latent, or if it surfaces, we deal with it through our life experience in one form or another to get to where, you know, we become more accepting of each other. Some people never do.
And look, you know, yeah. There are people who hate Asians, but they're okay with African Americans. There are people who hate African Americans who are okay with Hispanics. People who hate Hispanics who are okay with Jews. You know, but you know, racism is a universe, but it has these little subsets to it, all of which are filthy and noxious and disgusting and evil.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's something that we all have to deal with, and you know, some people, you know, move beyond it, and you know, if you know, they reach certain points in their lives where it becomes like it's going to be evident and harmful, you know, harmful to their own, their own psyche, or harmful. And directly to others, which is the intent of the real racists, you know, their intent is to exert harm and exert power, over others. And, there's 30 million of them. But, I I would never believe that he got 60 million votes. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's just hard for me to believe. I can't believe it after electing a black man twice. Can't believe that this guy got 60 million votes.
Well, but I think that's part and parcel of why it happened, because you had 8 years of a black man in the White House, and it drove them absolutely up the wall, drove them out from behind the baseboards, Gary, and frankly served as a motivator and a weaponizer. They've had 8 years to tune up their race hate, and this was their moment to strike back.
Yeah, but I still don't think they reached their total, McCain got and Romney got. I think one of them may have got about the same, and one may have got a little bit more. I still don't think that those votes were there for him. This economic bullshit that the media is coming up with, that's all fucking bullshit.
Oh, that's the for-profit media trying to find some cover for the fact that they helped elect this son of a bitch.
That's horseshit to me. So I think they did major vote flipping, major vote flipping and maybe just expunging, In other words, made a bunch of Hillary votes just fucking disappear, I mean, she's 9 million votes short of what Obama got in, 2012 or 2008 or whatever, he got 60.
Well, I mean, Trump did say the vote was rigged.
He got 60 million.
He said the vote was rigged, and maybe he was right. He was telling the truth.
I said that last time. First time I heard him say it was rigged, I knew they were dialed in. They had it fucking dialed in. It was a done deal. You know what I mean? They flipped, and nobody's talking about exit polls and. Even the ones I went to various sites, New York Times site, political, and they show these squiggly fucking graphs as exit polls. All pure bullshit. They wouldn't put up fucking raw numbers. They didn't even put up what the sample number was. None of that. It was just squiggly fucking lines or bars, red bars and blue bars. Bullshit. CNN, at least they had a sample size and gave the percentages, within that sample size. So you could take a look at it and basically see what vote totals were within those exit polls, So I haven't run across much of it, but, I was hearing things that, some of the exit polls in the flip states, the blue gone red states, none of them were on the money like all the rest of the states, whether they were red or blue states, the exit polls were matching up. But those states, none of them were, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, none of them were they were out of line. They were out of line. They were anywhere from 3 to 6 points, showing Hillary and not Trump. So who knows? Maybe somebody will do some digging, but the damage is done. You can't undo it at this point.
Right. All we can do at this point is push back against the idea that he's a legitimate president.
Stay in the fight. Keep fighting. That's all you can do. This kumbaya shit gotta go. And I'm calling everybody out here, telling them the same damn thing. I'm pestering the hell out of them.
I understand. Well, Gary, you have yourself a good evening, and hopefully we will talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye
now. Take care, troops.
Thanks, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our buddy Gary, labor man, calling from New Mexico. Couple of notes while, and I'm going straight back. So the stress line is open if you want to jump in. 304-663-4676. Note coming from Steve in China. Rope a vote. I'm beginning to lose interest in the endless talk pro or con, activist or pacifist. What I'm reading right now says that Hillary Clinton got the popular vote by something around 1 million. 1.8 last I checked, but okay, 1 million. That's a clear win, flat out, Steve says. This system no longer works, if it ever has. There is no argument at this point. No hanging chads, no third-party nonsense. We shouldn't be having these discussions. The president-elect is not legitimate. End of discussion. Meanwhile, the sort of scum who are polishing their jackboots, they're getting ready to kick ass up and down the street, which is what happens when the rule of law disappears. That's plain and simple. And, yeah, I'm not going to legitimize him. And, yeah, I know. But, Bob, the Electoral College. Well, the Electoral College was recognized as being undemocratic from the instant of its creation. Now, in the 21st century, I'm not going to sit around and pretend that the Electoral College is somehow democratic. It should have been done away with ages ago. Hell, the Electoral College would have saved us from the Iraq War, Afghanistan War, maybe even from 9/11 itself. Just letting the guy with the popular vote take the presidency would have saved us all of that. And yet, knowing that, we went back to sleep for 16 years. We had a 16-year window to fix that problem. Some states tried with their popular vote legislation, but we had 16 years to amend the Constitution and didn't. Now, I pay fairly close attention to the goings on and doings of Washington D.C. Did I miss it where a constitutional amendment ridding us of the Electoral College was introduced and just sort of faded away? Maybe I did. It's entirely... Nobody can keep up with all of it. But I don't... I mean, I remember when Donna Edwards in Maryland introduced a constitutional amendment to do away with the Citizens United ruling. I remember that. Because there was considerable talk about it inside progressive media, such as it is. I do not, however, remember any sort of thing like that surrounding the Electoral College. I just don't. So, you know, take that. Yeah, I like what Steve says. The president-elect is not legitimate. End of discussion. And it's going to have real-world consequences if we legitimize him. Note coming from Robert in Australia. Listening to the various religious types this morning, it sounds like the USA is about to be overtaken by the Borg. You will service us. You will believe what we believe. You will do what we tell you to do, or else. Tonight's obligatory Star Trek reference. No Australian politician talks about their religious beliefs. They'll talk about sport, but not religion. To talk about God and Jesus and heaven is a death sentence in the polls here. People just look at them, tilt their head slightly, and go, "Crikey, he's a holy chow." John Howard did give a speech at the Hillsong Mega Arena Church, but only because he needed the votes. Sadly, it seems that for the next 4 years, we're all going to live in interesting times, as the proverb has it. Personally, I give Post about 18 months before he's impeached, resigns, or has a massive heart attack. Sadly, Vice Post is just as bad. Yeah. Well, Robert, let me just correct one aspect of that. There, and I can't say this plainly enough, there will be no impeachment. because impeachment has to be started by the House of Representatives. And in order for impeachment to be started by the House of Representatives, it would have to be in the hands of the Democrats, because the Republicans, as you know, as Post alluded to, he said, "What did he say? I could shoot people in the middle of I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue, and my poll numbers wouldn't go down." Well, the same thing applies to the Congress of the United States. As long as the Congress is getting what it wants in its wild-eyed birth or death or ninth or tenth or birch or bag or booger eater fashion, they don't care what he does. They don't care if he sells this country lock, stock, and barrel down the river to the Russians, as long as Republicans are getting to exercise the kinds of power Republicans love to exercise. So that having been said, let me run over. Oh, by the way, yeah, we've still got $141.59 to go in fundraising for this evening. And thank you very, very kindly to a brand new subscriber, Christopher. Thank you, Christopher, for jumping in. That is much appreciated. So we've got a new subscriber for the 16th of the month. Thank you very much. Now let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob.
How are you? Do I hear a blinker?
Yes, I am. You do hear a blinker. I'm trying to hopefully somebody will let me the freeway. And they did. Yay. So now the blinker's off. So, you know, I am happy to stay because, you know, I live in America.
Yep.
And it's the United, you know, is today considered day 8? Or day 9 of the Trump occupation?
We didn't know until the 9th, so 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. This is day 8 of the Trump, okay. Trumpupation.
So, okay. Trumpupation. So, you know, I've had, you know, of course, you know, my son being attacked, and then that was Friday, and today I pull into a gas station. What is it about me and gas stations?
Well, I mean, you do drive a cab. I pull in. You probably go to the gas station more than most of us.
I probably sometimes like twice a day, depending on, you know, where I've been. But so I pull into the gas station and turn around because, of course, my tank is on the other side where the available pumps are. So I turn around, and as I'm turning around, this guy zooms in and, you know, parks at the pump. And I, you know, did the, you know, can you back up so, you know, I can get my gas? He backs up just enough so I could pull up but not pull the nozzle to my tank. And I'm like, you know, so he gets out of his car and I said, could you please back up? And I'm stuck. I can't move. And he won't move. So he's, you know, he proceeds to ignore me. Of course, he's white. And then he goes to pay for his gas. Not one, not two, but three credit cards declined, right? So on the fourth try, he finally gets his, you know, card goes through. And I'm asking him, please, get you back up? Because I can't. So finally, he's done. I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to deal with this. He's finally done with his, and I'm waiting for him to get in his car and scurry away. What does he do? I don't know what happened, but I guess he needed a cigarette or something because there was this chick walking down the street. He takes off running after and then asking somebody for a cigarette or what have you and holds a conversation. Meanwhile, I'm still trying to get gas.
That sounds a little sketchy.
I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, and I'm trying because I don't want to go to jail, Bob. Because, you know, I have a temper and I'm not going to go to jail. If I'm going to go to jail, I'm going to go to jail for some real reason. And, you know, because I defended myself. I'm not going to go to jail because I beat the hell out of somebody with my cane. Okay. Unless I was defending myself while doing it. So that was the instance. So then later, I'm like, okay, whatever. I get my fundies. I get my gas and whatever. Pick up Will. And then we go to my favorite restaurant called Felipe's. It's like this French dip sandwich shop. It's been there since 1908. And the food's still good. So we have our lunch and dinner or whatever. We're walking out. I'm still wobbly, and I forgot my cane in the car from the surgery on Monday. I lean on it was a table full of Asian people. I lean on the table to steady myself, right? This Asian woman, her purse was next to her. As soon as I leaned on the table, Bob, she put her arms through the arm strap and pulled her purse closer to her. And I said to her, I said, sweetie, I'm not trying to steal your purse. And she, of course, looked at me and pretended like she didn't understand what I was saying. But I knew why she did it. Because I'm like, if she had grabbed her purse and looked in her and like pretend like at least you're trying to look for something in your purse. Do me that courtesy, you know? But to grab your purse and to hold it close to you, like I'm about to snatch it, I'm a middle-aged black woman, Bob. What the hell? I'm limping. So what was I going to do?
No. That limp is just a big, it's a big
put-on. Oh, that was the ploy.
Yeah.
That was the put-on.
Yeah.
Okay. To lure her into that false sense of confidence that really she's wounded. She's strayed away from the herd, and she's wounded. So she, you know.
It's the gazelle theory, Tracy.
Right. Bob, I don't know. I don't know. And then, of course, you know, the whole thing on my Facebook page. And you're right, I should let it go. But see, the funny thing was, most of the responses, I kind of hadn't thought about them. And then I came back, I thought he had gone away. But all my friends were like on him, like, why don't write? And then finally, that's when I went on to the whole thing about, you know, this is when, you know, when this person is a friend of yours, you can either teach or delete.
I think we've all got a lot of learning to do in the next few. Best we're done sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have to take it all the way down to our toenails. The idea of don't feed the trolls,
right?
Because we're kind of doing some inside baseball stuff here, just so I can let people know. This nasty person. Tracy posted about what happened to her son, and this nasty person came on and started, you know, being and hit this and this is a teachable moment. When you see aggrieved white privilege, the way it works is they make it all about them. Me. Look at me. Engage with me. Talk to me. Let me be a time vampire and suck up your life. And we had all better learn. Do not, let's see, D-N-F-T-T. D-N-F-T-T, do not feed the trolls. Because they're going to be all over the place. The sooner we learn that, the better off we are.
Well, you did like my final response to him, didn't you?
No, I did.
Something about mouth breathing, knuckle dragging.
Yeah, I could
Trump. Trump pansy.
Yeah. And, it just did me proud, I guess. I can say that. It just did me proud.
You know where I got Trump pansy, baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And was it yesterday's show or the day before that you were going to, from here and forthwith and forevermore, refer to these assholes as Trump pansies until they prove otherwise?
You want to be treated with respect. Why don't you, you know, earn some? That's all. That's, you know, because, you know, I've been a libtard for so long I can't count.
Right.
Okay. And I know the Kumbaya choir is going to say, well, you don't have to be like they are. I'm a Southerner. Okay. I know what it is when one of the stump licker bunch comes up and punches you in the face, and then you go, "Oh, brother, that wasn't very." They punch you in the face again, and they keep punching until they get you on the ground, and then they start stomping.
And then they start stomping you.
I kind of prefer to have a. Since we're talking about this. Let's establish a standard here, shall we?
We shall.
If a Trumpansie wants to engage, we can engage. Sure, we can. But can we have some preconditions?
and let's outline the conditions.
If a Trumpansie wants to engage, you get to ask him, okay, you're just an innocent, economically anxious Trump voter. How do you feel about the Klan? Well, I hate the Klan. Okay, you hate the Klan, but you still voted for Trump even after the Klan endorsed him. Well, okay, how do you feel about neo-Nazis? Well, I hate neo-Nazis. Ah, but you still voted for Trump even after neo-Nazis endorsed him and Trump retweeted neo-Nazi talking points and memes and articles and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you march through that and they're still willing to talk, you can get to the end and go, okay, so are you willing to say that you empowered those people with your vote? And if they go no, then you go, we really don't have anything to talk about. But I've got economic anxiety. Well, you know, go spray paint a swastika on a church.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah. You
go ahead. Ooh. It's just so, and typically I don't engage. Typically, especially when it's on my Facebook page, I don't. But again, you're talking about my child and you're calling my child a liar. And that's, you know, you can talk about me all you want. But when, and that's because, like I said, he was just being a nuisance. And then when he was talking about old.
Well, no, he was, Tracy, he was being more than a nuisance.
Yeah, he was being ugly.
He was being more than ugly. That's what you have to look at it and learn that it's a strategy. He drew all the attention to himself and made it about himself and minimized exactly the initial harm that was mentioned. As in point of fact, Brother Deacon Asa just said, heck, a Twitter troll just won the presidency, Bob. And, you know, when you look at it like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've all got some learning to do. This is a new world we're living in, Tracy.
This is, like you said, the new normal. But the gentleman that was talking before, what was his name?
Gary? Laborman?
Gary. Laborman. You know, I have to say this, and I think I've said it before, about how everybody is shocked and amazed that this is happening. And it's mostly white people that are shocked and amazed, because you ask my friends, my family, anybody that happens to be black in my life, we're not shocked. We were because of the way we have been treated in this country for, like I said, for ever since that first pleasure cruise over from Africa. It wasn't a matter of if we're going to have
a 3-hour cruise. No, sorry.
Yeah, 3-hour cruise is okay. It wasn't a matter of if we're going to have a president like Trump. It was just a matter of when. Because, like, you know, we've talked about how, you know, everybody's like all up in arms. Well, how did this happen? How did this happen? Are you fucking kidding me with this shit? How did this happen? It was because, you know, people sat by and let Republicans and other, and not even Republicans, but their family members. When you hear racial jokes or homophobic jokes or misogynistic jokes or what have you, and you said nothing. Or you did that nervous chuckle. Or it's like, oh, honey, don't talk that way. You shouldn't be that way. You know, you didn't admonish and say, don't talk like that in front of me. That's disgusting, and I will not tolerate that. Or any of the other things. Nobody stopped it. This has been going on since, I don't know, forever.
Well, I just got a great line in from Carol Baker I got to share with you.
Uh-huh.
Carol said, when I get the how dare you insinuate I'm a racist righteous indignation, I always respond, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you thought I was merely insinuating you were a racist. I thought you knew. you, like me, might want to hang on to that, Tracy.
Well, like I said in my response to the asshole that I included you in, you know, that smug bigotry that I got. And by the way, Carol, your friend Anita Rose, who came up with the shit show, a smug bigotry, she is now one of my Facebook friends. Thank you for having such awesome friends.
Carol is a giver.
Yeah, she's a giver. I'm a giver. But it's just, Yesterday I had my first confrontation with a Trump supporter. I was at the nail shop getting, you know, minding my own business, me and this other woman. We were having our own conversation, a private conversation. We weren't including anybody. We weren't yelling across the nail shop, you know, we hate Trump, nothing. We were just talking amongst ourselves. And this woman was like, because I said, you know, Trump's an idiot. He didn't even realize that he has to pick his own White House staff. It's like, you know, why would anybody want to stick, even if that wasn't the case, why would anybody want to work for you, you troll? So anyway, she was a foreigner, and she goes on, well, Trump is a smart business. One of the things that we were saying is, you know, I really wonder, did he realize, I don't think he realized just what he was getting himself into, and that, you know, now he's going to actually have to, you know, put his money where his mouth is or whatever. And so she said, well, he knew what he was getting himself into. He's here to save the country.
Oh, I can't. I just can't.
And all of a sudden there was a hush over the nail shop. The people even stopped speaking Vietnamese, Bob. And I just looked at her and said, really? She's like, yeah, you know, Obama this, I'm a small business owner, and he raised my taxes, and why should I pay for health care for my employees? Why should I give them days off? I said, sweetie, honey, boo-boo. So you're sitting here at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Don't ever call me boo-boo, please. I'll know I'm in such trouble.
You're sitting here at 10 o'clock in the morning getting your nails done. And I'm pretty sure your employees that are making you able to sit here at 10 o'clock in the morning are at work. So are you saying that they don't deserve time off to do whatever they need to do, or heaven forbid, go to the doctor? And as far as the health care is concerned, wouldn't you rather just make sure your employees have preventive care instead of calling in sick? It benefits you when you have healthy employees. Sick employees don't do much of anything. You know, and I said, and isn't it, and she was talking about immigrants. I said, really? I'm detecting an accent here. Where are you? I didn't ask her where. I said, but you weren't born here, were you? She's like, well, no. I said, well, sweetie, that means that you are a beneficiary of how great this country can be for people who come here and want to work and work hard and build their own businesses or what have you. So you're saying that other immigrants shouldn't have the same opportunity that you have, or should they only be the right kind of immigrants? You know, that look like you. And then I said, you know, and she was going on about crime and, you know, so that I said, well, the latest, you know. See, you know what? I got to start recording. Like the thing you played the other day, last night, about the guy going off on his black girlfriend. I wonder, you know, it made me think about how many interracial, biracial relationships and marriages are going to withstand this presidency. You know what I'm saying? Because the sheets are coming off, Bob. People are actually seeing people for what they are. But this woman wouldn't shut up. And I finally did shut her up. I said, you know, it's amazing. You can talk at, you know, in rhetoric and probabilities about what, you know, all this. Because I said, so you want a man that says it's okay to grab a woman by the pussy, that all Mexicans are rapists, murderers, and drug dealers, that all black people's lives are hell, and we all live in the inner cities. And that all Muslims need to be rounded up.
Well, I mean, were you listening earlier this evening when, what's his name, Wellington Boone and Pat Robertson explained how good the blacks had it in the 1930s?
See, this is what happened. I heard him starting to talk, but I turned it off because that's at the moment that I was going into the restaurant to get my food, and I didn't want to get sick. I didn't want to So wait, stop, back up.
I ain't playing the clip again. You can't make me.
Don't you dare. No, because I can't stand listening to Pat Robertson with that raspy-ass voice, one foot out of the grave. Just, why don't you just go ahead and kick the other... Come on, somebody, push him and put the, and just die already, fucker. Die.
By the way, do you know what the unit of measurement is for the time interval between when you step on the banana peel and when you hit the floor?
No.
That's a banana second.
Oh.
Our buddy Paul shared that onto my page the other day, and I've been waiting for the opportunity.
And then you foisted on me. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a giver.
So you're a giver. So Grandpappy Pat was saying how I had it better in the third. My folks.
Yeah, the blacks had their own communities and their own stores and.
Did he mention when we did have our own communities and our own stores, white folks would come in and burn them down to the ground?
No, never quite got there.
Did he mention that when we did have our own communities and our own stores and businesses and the black folks felt that we were being uppity, they would come in and lynch the store owners?
No, didn't quite get to that either.
Oh, okay.
It's a short program. I mean, you know, they can't get into nuance, Tracy.
Oh, okay. So I didn't get a chance to. So I saw this. I had to read this to you. I went to go see a new James Baldwin documentary last night. I Am Not Your Negro. That's going to be a T-shirt.
Been hearing about that.
It's amazing. It is fucking amazing.
That and the other one that I've got to watch is a few years old now, but I've had several notes telling me what's it called? A Day Without a Mexican.
Yes. I think that's on Netflix, isn't it?
I gotta go looking because I think I'm gonna, yes.
I Am Not Your Negro will not, I don't know, because this was a screening of it. I know it's going to be released in theaters in February of next year, but it's also going to be on PBS. I don't know if it's going to be before or after the theatrical release. But it was amazing. So there was this woman walking around passing out flyers. So listen, it says, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept, and this is why I thought about you when I saw it, a fascist America. Rise up, get into the streets, unite with people everywhere to build up a resistance in every way you can. Don't stop, don't conciliate, don't accommodate, don't collaborate. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but when I saw about the collaboration, don't collaborate, I'm like, where's Bob? He's somewhere cheering all the way in bygone West Virginia. He's like, oh yeah. So I just want to let you know that here on the West Coast, we're feeling you about not collaborating.
People are learning. And I don't know if you caught this. I don't know if you caught this or not, but just a little bit before airtime, I was watching the latest from Keith Olbermann, and he has simply started titling his new videos The Resistance. And what's more,
with your bad self, Keith.
And I thought it took a little bit of courage on his part. He said,
no, it's not a little bit of courage, it's a lot of courage.
But he said,
you know,
he said, listen, for what it's worth, I volunteer to lead the resistance. And he said, I know it's freighted, and I know that it's got, you know, it's got elements of ego and everything. He said, but until somebody with more credentials, more political clout steps up and says, I'll lead the resistance, he said, you know, I volunteer. And you know, and I thought, yeah, okay, that's cool. And the thing is, it's not nearly as important to volunteer to lead the resistance as to acknowledge that there, by God, must be one.
Be one. Absolutely. I'm not, Bob, you know what? I am not. This man, he is post, like you said. He will never, ever, ever be my president. He will never, ever be my POTUS. Because in a world when they could say that Michelle Obama is an ape in heels.
When a voter for him says, yes.
Exactly.
Let's make that clear. And another voter for him says, "Why, you just made my day."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they're not, but Bob, they're not racist. They're, what are they, they're economically, what is the bullshit now?
They have economic anxiety, Tracy, poor babies.
So what is it when black folks haven't worked in, is it, you know.
No. If y'all have economic anxiety, you're getting uppity.
Well, see, you know what? This goes back to what I was saying. Black folks have been knowing for a very long time that we were going to have a Trump for president. It was just because it's this, the same thing that we've been prepared for this because, you know, black. It's just like when my great-great-grandmother talked about the Depression, right? When white folks lost their minds, like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? What is happening? What? Oh, my God. Black people are like, this is welcome to our everyday lives. So for Pat Robertson to have to sit his happy ass wherever the fuck he is and talk about how we had it good in the 30s, come on, player. For real, dog? It's just, I am not going to collaborate. And if I find that any of my senators or my state or my elected representatives are collaborating with them, I will be on the phone. And I think that's what we need to do, Bob. You know, when
or serve advance notice.
I don't want to get
wind of you voting in any way, shape, form, or fashion with these fascists. No collaboration.
That's what we have to do.
And the thing, maybe this is where I have failed in my argument in this regard. I've said it a million times. I don't know why it's hard to understand, but they have enough members in the House and the Senate to do whatever they want. And like I said, talking to Gary, if you vote with them, then and you succeed, they're going to take all the credit. If you vote with mm-hmm. them and they fail, you're going to get their failure all over you.
Exactly.
Why not let? I mean, they've got the bit in their teeth. Why not let them run with it and try to stop them whenever and however you can.
I'll get
some pushback and piss off for this, but it's like what I'm about to say.
Okay.
It's like I saw where Bernie said, you know, maybe we can, and I mentioned this talking to Gary. Maybe we can work with him, and we'll work with him if he wants to work on infrastructure and income inequality.
But didn't he talk about how when we're talking about $15 an hour, that was way too much money?
The minimum wage, he said, is too much money.
Okay, so what do you think he's going to pay these people who are building our bridges, or rebuilding our bridges and our dams? And our waterways and roads.
I don't
know.
Take a chicken to the contractor? What?
He's famous for not paying the people who work for him. And now that he's going to be, you know, dictator in chief.
But I'm gonna go ahead and violate Godwin's law right now because I just want to finish this thought out. We're going to work with him on we're going to work with him on infrastructure projects. And as Boss Man Wayne pointed out, what if the front end of those infrastructure projects is gutting Davis Bacon? You know what Davis Bacon is, right?
Because when you said it, I said, okay, that must have something to do with unions and bargaining and stuff.
Davis Bacon says that we pay prevailing wages for work that is done with government money. And prevailing wages change from one region to another. It's, you know, but it winds up quite often being union scale. So even if you're, and I'm speaking broadly, and I know that that's not entirely correct, but I'm just trying to give a thumbnail here. So even if you're not a member of a union, if you're on a federal job with federal dollars, you're going to make union scale. So they won't be able to lowball your ass. A good way to think about this is to remember back during the aftermath of Katrina, when Dim Leader tried to make a precondition of rebuilding after Katrina that the jobs would not be considered to be under the Davis-Bacon Act, because it's a federal law, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the question that Boss Man Wayne put was, well, okay, maybe they'll do an infrastructure bill, but they'll gut Davis-Bacon before they do it.
Of course.
And I hadn't even thought about that, but I think it's very true. But here's my, and sure, I'll get in trouble for this. Why do we pretend that fascists don't do infrastructure? What's one of those sayings that comes out of the early part of the 20th century? Mussolini made the trains run on time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, arguably the first great high-speed, limited-access highway system in the world was the Autobahn, which was a massive infrastructure and reinvestment and employment project in, you know, Germany. Care to guess whose baby that was?
Let me guess. Come on, you tell me too.
No, you have to say it. You have to say it so Gerald can win. It doesn't count if I say it.
Say it one more time. Go ahead.
Okay, the Autobahn in Germany was a huge
infrastructure.
Thank you. 826, 826. Who had 826? Damn it, Gerald. Okay, now we're done. Fascists have infrastructure projects too. Do we want to empower a fascist by letting him take credit for an infrastructure project?
Okay, so here's a happy, funny thing. So we know how I talked about the Asian woman grabbing her purse when I leaned on the table.
Mm-hmm.
James Vick, smartass, on my Facebook page, an Asian woman grabbing, holding onto her purse, back away from the bag, very slowly.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. James, you know what? That ain't right. Because people are going to look at that on my Facebook page and like, what in the world? Are they talking? Back away. And is it? See, you got it wrong. The bag was red, James. At least you were going to do it. At least get it the right color, for God's sakes. But yeah, back away. Back away from the bag very slowly. I mean, this is the thing, Rob. You know, I will not, and I like what you said about, you know, being proactive with this, you know, before, and just send out a shit. I don't think I have to worry about Kamala Harris, but I definitely have to worry about Feinstein.
Oh, you always have to worry about DiFi.
You know,
she's got all kinds of collaboration potential because she's a dear friend of Joe Manchin, who would sell his own grandmother out to the Republicans if the price was right.
Yeah. So no, I'm gonna have to. I you just inspired me to get onto a letter writing campaign to all my representatives. And I'm going to send a letter to Kamala too, because, you know, she'll be new. This is going to be her first time as the senator. So I don't want her to fall victim to the bullshit, because and I'm going to make it very clear. And I think everybody who is listening should make it very clear to our elected officials that anybody caught collaborating that I voted for will not be ever voted for again. I will make it my duty to make sure not only that I voted for this person, but I will figure out a way to get them unelected. I won't I won't. Because this is too important, Bob.
Well, it is. And let's try to bear one thing in mind, Tracy. If they get their way, if they do things like repealing NAFTA and other, you know, global free trade deals. And I'm not saying I'm a fan, because I'm not. But if they repeal it, because these economies are so very much interconnected now, they could create a real lives, honest to goodness, fecal hurricane in the world economy. You know, we're talking recession, possible depression. See, the other part, the other side of that coin is that, like Laborman says, if that happens, they'll blame Obama.
Right. They know these people are anything but stupid. They're conniving, sniveling, fork-tongued snakes, slithering-ass snakes, and they, especially Giuliani, they know that they're going to fuck up, and they're going to fuck this country up, and they don't care. That's the worst part, Bob. They don't care as long as they get theirs, as long as they get their what is it in The Godfather? I'm good as long, you know, you can do whatever
get
my beak wet.
Yeah. Well, let's play a little game here. I like to call it unintended consequences. So a long, long time ago, there was this ambitious right-wing lawyer in Alabama, and he'd been a U.S. attorney, and he got nominated to be a federal judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nominated by Ronald Reagan. Yeah, I know. Wait. So, when his nomination went to the Senate, they started digging around in this guy's past. Let's pick up the story from an article in 2002 in the New Republic. Senate Democrats tracked down a career Justice Department employee named J. Gerald Herbert, who testified, albeit reluctantly, that in a conversation between the two men, the nominee had labeled the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People and the American Civil Liberties Union un-American and communist-inspired. Hebert said Sessions had claimed, we're talking about Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions, the Fud here, these groups forced civil rights down the throats of people. And in his confirmation hearings, he doubled down and said that such groups could be construed as un-American. They involve themselves in promoting un-American positions. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
At one point, and then the floodgates were kind of just open, and that's when we found out that he had called another lawyer a disgrace to his race. Because he litigated voting rights cases under the Voting Rights Act, which, you know, doesn't matter anymore.
Do you think
So they rejected his nomination, and so Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III did not get to be a federal district judge. You know, one of those unelected black robe judges that they're complaining about all the time. He didn't get to be that. Instead, he went on to run for Senate from the state of Alabama, and he is, although he has been there since God was a baby now, he is the junior senator from the state of Alabama. And he was an early supporter jumping on the Trump train. Guess what? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He may very well have an inside track to be the Attorney General of the United States. You know, the guy in charge of the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. Unintended consequences. just because we didn't let him be a federal judge, now we may wind up with him as the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, a man who thinks that the NAACP and the ACLU are un-American, and who, and I'm not joking, I've mentioned this a million times before, who once said that he thought the KKK was okay until he found out that some Klansmen smoked the marijuanas.
Oh, wait, so because they smoke a little weed.
The NAACP and the ACLU are un-American, but the Klan was an okay organization until he found out that Klansmen smoke that the Grand Kleagle smokes the doobie.
Well, you know, see,
it puts the pillowcase on its head.
Can I have a cowbell for that?
Yes. Please? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
It picks up the burning cross. It picks up the rope and throws it over the tree limb now. Well, first it has to find a tree. First it has to find a tree, then the rope, and then a nigger. And just add the crowd. Yeah.
And Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions, the Thud, also has published, you know, put in writing that immigrants are the reason for the loss of high-paying jobs and high welfare dependency in America.
Doesn't he realize that the majority...
And that's not even the illegal people. Immigrants. Legal immigrants, too.
Immigrants. Well, like that woman who, you know, tried to go... See, you know, when she went off with me yesterday, and I'm looking at her, I'm like, I wasn't even talking to you, bitch. Really? You simp... But when she says she was Jewish, I said, oh, yeah. So... You know, he did talk about the Jews, and she poo-pooed that. I said, well, you know what, sweetie, let me tell you something, and I'm going to end this conversation right now because I see I'm stressing you out. But I hate to think about what your grandparents or great-grandparents are, who probably are no longer with us, are thinking about. They're rolling over in their graves right now because they lived through a fascist, and his name was Hitler.
Yeah.
Or they didn't.
Oh, and just, you know, just one last thing, and we'll kind of wrap it up, but another thing that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Thud opposes, he opposes the idea of birthright citizenship in the 14th Amendment. I'm not sure exactly what the drafters of the 14th Amendment had in mind, but I doubt that it was somebody could fly in from Brazil and have a child and fly back home with that child, and that child is forever an American citizen.
You can't see the face I'm making right now.
Well, you know, one of these days when we go to video.
No, because, see, no, the world's not ready for all this in video. Because I'm a woman of girth. I get to that point where I just, like, for real, because I just, again.
I mean, you know, this guy may not wind up Attorney General. Maybe Trump will save him for the Supreme Court. Because, see... because of that whole comity thing, C-O-M-I-T-Y, not C-O-M-E-D-Y, because of that whole comity thing, the Senate just loves it when presidents nominate senators to be Supreme Court justices.
Wow.
Because everybody's gone down to the Senate dining room and everybody's had a tuna fish sandwich with the nominee.
Gotcha.
You wish I was joking. You know I'm not. Oh, no, and by the way, good news. Gerald just donated all 38 cents of his Hitler pool winnings to the fundraising goal this evening, which leaves me still dealing with loose change, which means that we now have a fundraising goal of $141 and, let's see, 21 cents.
Forget, because I don't really think you either texted me or emailed me. How many new subscribers did we have by Friday?
Oh, we met it.
Oh, cool. Awesome. So I'll send that tonight before I go home, get home. I love PayPal. But one more thing, you know, when Pat Robertson was talking about how black folks had it so good in the 30s mm-hmm. and all that shit. Well, see, this is that another thing how, you know, black people have been so resilient for, you know, ever since we got here. You know how I said, but we
kind of makes me wish Maya Angelou had never written Still I Rise.
And Still I Rise, because you know they're going to be using that shit, right? You know, we knew for the longest that we were going to get a Trump, somebody like Trump, the president. It just reminds me of my great-great-grandmother was talking about during the Depression. Like I said, white people just lost their minds and were like, Depression, that's just every day for us. It's just, you know, what we as black folks, and I'm speaking collectively, and I usually don't, but let me just take it back on just on me as a black woman in this country. I am not even acknowledged. I'm not, when with feminist studies, I'm not acknowledged. You know, I actually called my teacher out on when I took a women's literature course, and there was us, you know, and I'm reading about with all these dead white women, and I'm like, did black women write at all, or any women of color, or you know, with the civil rights movement when everybody that was really acknowledged were men, when white women were fighting for the rights to vote, we weren't included because they knew if they included black women. The Southern women wouldn't be behind us, behind the Voting Rights Act. I mean, being out the ability for women to get to vote. Black men got to vote before I got to vote. So I'm living in a country where it's not only am I black, but I'm a woman, and I'm a black woman. So I actually found this book, and this is, I suggest if you've never heard of it, or have you ever heard of a book called Sisters in the Wilderness?
No.
Okay. Let's write this down. It is required reading. Boys and Girls in the Horn Family, get it out. It's called Sisters in the Wilderness, The Challenge of Womanist God Talk by Dolores S. Williams. This book is written by a sister who, when she was, you know, going to seminary or whatever, and she noticed that nothing had nothing to, and even growing up in a black church, that nothing was good about being a black woman. So she took the story of Hagar, and okay, Bob, you know, you Bible thumping madman that you used to be, or your family, tell everybody who Hagar is.
Hagar was the woman bondservant of Sarai, the wife of Abraham, after they got back from Abraham pimping Sarai out to Pharaoh in Egypt.
Okay, so she's listen to what the book is about. Drawing on the biblical figure Hagar, Dolores Williams finds a prototype for the struggle of African-American women through Hagar's story of poverty and slavery, ethnicity and sexual exploitation, exile and encounter with God. She traces parallels in the history of African-American women from slavery to the present day. And so that's what the book is about. So it's a way for black... So when you say the word womanist, that's black women saying feminist, you know, and that's our way of theologically thinking as a feminist, but being a black woman. So because feminists didn't include us, so we're now as womanist. So so end of the lesson. But it's an amazing, I got this book before the election, and I'm reading it now, and it's helping me.
Give the title again.
It's called Sisters in the Wilderness, The Challenge of Womanist God Talk, and it's by Dolores S. Williams. And then there's another book that is also a must read for anybody that really wants to know what it's like to be a black woman in this country. Sister Outsider by Audre Lorde. And her, one of her essays, she had me write. I had never even heard of her until I went back to school. And she starts off her essay saying, I'm a black lesbian woman in a biracial relationship with two children. I'm like, holy shit, she's talking about me. But so I have this woman talking about my, on my spiritual side on one hand, and this woman talking about what it's like to be a black lesbian in this country. And these, the first one that I was talking about was written in 93, so it's over 20 years old. And Audre Lorde's book is probably about this as old, if not older. But it still resonates. It is still relevant. And like with the movie that I saw last night with James Baldwin, there was, it's like sometimes it's, I hear you talking to me. There was a part, a snippet where Bobby Kennedy is basically talking about the Negro problem, because, you know, Negroes are always a problem, or we have problems. And he was talking about basically, you know, if we act right in the next 40 or some odd years, we'll have a black president. And then they, you know, cut to a scene of President Obama and Michelle Obama walking down, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue. And so James Baldwin responds to that. So in other words, if we're good, if we act right, then you're going to allow us. And that's what he said, allow us to have a black president. Because the only way a Barack Obama could happen is if the white power structure allows it. Yes, more black folks came out and voted than ever. And they could say women voted and more black people and stuff. But do you really think, do you really think that if certain people didn't ask or want him to be president, do you think he would have been president, Bob? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so that, and that's, so like I said, so to this past few days, I'm thanking God for James Baldwin. Oh, and another James Baldwin documentary, I don't know how hard, because I found it, I own it. It's James Baldwin, The Price of the Ticket. Or of a Ticket. And that's another amazing James Baldwin. That one is available now if you can find it. If you can, you must watch it, because it talks about his, when he was in Paris, and what made him finally come back to the United States. And it was, just about the same things that we're still talking about, you know, 50, 60 years later. How there's a simmering anger.
Everything old is new again. Well, hey, I want to mention something to you, Tracy, before we run out of time.
Mm-hmm. Before we run out of time, because I can run my mouth.
That line that you so took to over on Facebook from Carol's
Anita
friend.
Rose.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, Anita has joined the Horn Family Community Congregation, and
yay!
she is hearing your voice. And Hooterville Hooterville's listenership population just doubled.
Is she listening now?
Right now.
Anita, girl, thank you for standing up for me and my son, and thank you for that. I will. That is closest to my heart. The shit show of smug bigotry, and did I chase it to a shit storm? So. And I give you due respect for that, because that line right there made my day. And that's how I knew that you were Carol Baker's friend, because only somebody that loves and adores Carol Baker as much as I do could come up with a line like that. So it does my heart proud to know, and good to know, that I have more than one white friend in Hooterville.
You cannot have enough. You really cannot have enough, Tracy.
It gives me hope that there's, you know, and I thank her for, because she was pissed off about what that guy wrote and about the teacher deleted. And she even said, it's hard. It hurts my heart that I have to delete people that I love and care about and no longer deal with them. But that's the only way we're going to get our point across, because it is, if you sit back and listen to that vile shit, and you don't say anything, and say, instead of saying, if you continue to speak like that in my presence, I can no longer have anything to do with you. And when I say me, that means if I have children, that means you won't be seeing your grandbabies, you won't be seeing your nieces, you won't be seeing your nephews, and you won't be seeing me. Because I know how that feels. I've done it. I did it with my family. I had to walk away from my family because of how they were acting toward my wife or how they've been acting toward me before. It killed me. It still kills me. It's like ripping my heart out through my throat. But you know what? I'm healthier and I'm whole because I took the high road and I said, this is more my mental health. And my sanity is so much more important than being able to go to Thanksgiving dinner. Because, baby, you don't have to. You have plenty of friends. That Carol Baker, her family, anybody. In times like these, you have to form new families. You have to form new alliances. And just keep on moving. And then hopefully, maybe, when they see that you're not playing, maybe they might come to their senses.
Yeah, there's even an article up at Raw Story right now for how to cope with Thanksgiving when your crazy old uncle goes all Trumpy. Hey, Tracy, I got a roll, but it's been a lovely conversation. I'm going to try to get another call in.
But like I said, Bob, I'm going to go to PayPal right now and send that $50, and I'm going to do just for shits and giggles, let's throw a $20 challenge on there as well.
That'd be great because that would take us down to only $100 to go. So there's a $20 challenge on the table with 9 minutes left to go in the program. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. Take care, y'all.
You have a good night now.
You too, bye.
And let's run over to the stress line and see who's there. Hey, welcome to the program. Okay, I got to do it this way. Stand by. So it's Mark on the stress line. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Bob. When you picked up on one line, the original interception, it's just perfect clear, obviously. This one is my fault. No.
I was on the speakerphone with you previously. Now you're on air.
Oh, okay. Well, in any case, the speakerphone's great for me and not good for the audience, and that's my
No, follow-up. You sound great. You sound
AT&T
great.
Bob to cricket.
You sound great. Go. You're
all
fine.
All right. Bob, just 1 second, please. In any case, Bob, I just wanted to say, Davis Bacon and prevailing wage are the federal minimum wage standards for construction. We don't compete with Burger King because of the federal laws that stepped in under the influence of workers in heavy highway projects. Any case, they said that we should be able to make a living so our wives could stay home and take care of the children, or our husbands could stay home and take care of the children and the wives work in construction. So prevailing wage also, I would just, or Davis Bacon, also make sure that there is representation on probably the country's largest employer for people who want to work outside. How about if I put it that way politely, in construction, men and women. So, you know, if you have a breakdown of society, just like in the armed forces, you have to have a percentage of representation, whether you're in the Marine Corps, the Army, the Coast Guard. People want to be a naval officer. We have to have people that represent the officership of any branch of the service that reflects as close as possible to the population at large, and including gender identities, which I'm totally in support of and always have been. So men and women, these are the federal laws that protect workers in construction. So when the Republicans make this deal, which I think Schumer's already kind of positioning himself on, Harry Reid has, and Bernie Sanders are all positioning, and Sanders has announced to join the coalition of influential senators in their leadership role. And Bernie, by the way, Bob, was on live tonight with a lot of interest, speaking from somewhere I couldn't determine. He has a lot of reemergence of popularity that never left with momentum. But in any case, what we're saying is the Democrats are saying what you said a moment ago, Bob, is I think it's going to be like when Walmart wanted to come into New York City. New York City, Chicago, and even parts of California have pushed back against Walmart, and because of their tremendous disrespect towards people trying to make a living, predominantly women. 60% of their workforce are women making $8 an hour. So the point is these organized labor and women's rights and workers got together and said, we don't want you in this part. We're going to Albertsons and union chain grocery stores like Kroger's and other folks. So labor got in such harm's way at one point in New York City, Bob. They accepted an agreement to let Walmart come into New York City with the agreement that we would build their Walmarts and maybe maintain them. That I've not been able to confirm. So we are at the exact same crossroads. I think that the Democrats are going to be held over the barrel, that we're going to get a lot of the infrastructure. Trump's going to come out with a trillion dollar bill. The political right always says that the government doesn't create jobs, but in fact they're going to double the 2015 infrastructure bill was $309 billion. They're going to go for $1 trillion this year, which is what Obama has wanted to do from day one, but they've cock-blocked him every step of the way. So they're going to take that deficit from those budgets that did never get to see the day of light, and they're now going to release them to their friends who will also not allow Davis Bacon. So you'll take a job where you can maybe make $22 an hour, and you'll go back to $10 an hour and with a lot less standards and regulations on a job site. And basically the Walmartization of construction in the country with a less safe product. And organized labor obviously stands opposed to that. Now, LaGuardia, there's three big jobs in New York City, and that's what Hillary never came right out and said. Trump leaned towards it a little closer, but there's a huge jobs breaking in New York City, which were released from the 2015 money and some other spots in the country. We're looking at a liquid natural gas plant, Bob, over in Oregon, Coos Bay area. It's about a $6 billion job that'll put us union people to work. But all of this hangs in the balance in the next few months or a few weeks, whatever they do with the infrastructure. But Trump's going to come out with bells and whistles, just bringing it to people's knowledge. That's what we're talking about. Davis Bacon prevailing wage protects workers, so there's representation and fairness, minority representation, gender representation, fairness in the workplace, and that's what it is. So I apologize for talking like this because I can't hear myself very well in the background, and I have to just get my propaganda out, but that's where my heart and soul is. And it's serious times, and they want to eliminate Davis Bacon is what's going to be given in exchange. So in other words, we're going to give you these projects, but from this date forward, 2018, 2017, 2019, there'll be no more prevailing wage. So you'll see a guy working on a bridge from Poland or from Uganda or from wherever folks come from for $8 an hour, and the guy was selling shoes the week before, where we in the union, all of our people are trained with federal standards and federal training, federal standard training, excuse me, that's provided for by labor. So we're really at a crossroads for safe, productive production and oversight regulated work. So that's where we're at, Bob. I'll get out of your hair so you can maybe catch another caller, but it's very deadly times for us. And I think Schumer and Sanders are too quick to put up with it, even though Reid's leaving. So I think they're very slick dudes, and I love them all, and I love you guys.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks a bunch. You take care.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye now. Our buddy Mark. And it's going to take, I don't know, it's going to take courage to oppose him. Do we have that kind of courage? I don't know what country I live in anymore. And that's a simple fact. All right, time to get out of here. $141.21 in the way of a fundraising deficit as we close the program this evening. Hopefully we'll knock down some of that with subscribers overnight. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for spending your precious finite time engaged with this little discussion. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.